Oh, hi you guys. I guess we are live. Nice to see you again. This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio, and this is Lost Arts Radio Live. And apparently something about last week made us unable to stream this week to Facebook. And so I really apologize to all those people on Facebook who like to come right at the time that we're live. But you'll still be able to see it, as far as we can tell, on the podcast version, which is up on Facebook shortly after the broadcast. So anyway, it makes it kind of a first no item of business to make a note right now to go to lostartsradio.com and sign up for our mailing list, which is there just in case the channels that you know to reach us are cut off, and in case the only way we have to reach you is by email. Then we're not really using that list for anything now, but we will if we become unable to stream, well, not just to stream, but to post podcasts, because I guess that's the next step. And we're not being very successful at keeping completely away from controversial, forbidden subjects, and I apologize for that. I don't know how to tell the truth without doing that, but sign up at lostartsradio.com on the mailing list there, and we'll be able to stay in touch. Also, Mike's new channel, Brighteon.com, Brighteon.com, is a non-censoring alternative that should be able to stay up a lot longer than other places. So go right now and get on that mailing list if you can. And if you don't want us to disappear, you might want to consider donating using the donate button on lostartsradio.com. It goes to Lost Arts Research Institute, and it will keep our work going if you want us to do that. We're not really pushing anything else that would take the place of donation, so just in case you feel like that, it would be nice. Now, as far as the title of today's show is concerned, whether or not this is the fall of Atlantis 2.0, where that came from is I was reminded of the parallel this week while reviewing the events in this week's news, between the period that we're going through right now in the so-called modern present-day world to what was happening right before the fall of Atlantis and millions of people that died on that one night that it all disappeared. So remember, in real science, and this is relevant to what we're going to get into, you observe. It's real science is not like checking how many PhDs you have or Nobel Prizes or whether the approved journals like you or not. It's your observational quality, and anybody can do it if they want to. And a real scientist will observe inside and outside of yourself all the time. Inside, because you're a central part of any observation or experiment that you decide to do. And to understand things better, the real scientists look for patterns and to see what lessons they can get out of what's going on. They don't just repeat what they read in the journals or what they get from acceptable government agencies and things like that. They try to find out for themselves. And in the environment that we've got right now with the things that are going on, we have the choice of either become real scientists observing what's going on and understanding it, or be subject to the results of it, which is not as much fun. So I recommend option one if you can. I think, well, how can I say this? What looks like we see in a period like this at the end of civilizations are basically two things: a really degraded state of consciousness of the population and the general population, and then corrupt rulers wanting to take advantage of that decreased consciousness in the public. And of course, there's also a third element that is actually a cause of the first two, and that's the one that comes into view when we ask the question, who is really controlling the world leaders, the world rulers? Not necessarily the elected leaders or the official heads of governments or anything, but above that, who's controlling them? And I'm not telling you to agree with me on any of this, really. You have to do your own investigating, like we were just saying. But I've been digging into this since I first started the work as a health scientist in the mid-1960s, and especially in the last 20 years, it's become clear, I think, that the top level of control, as Alex has suggested, even though he doesn't want to get into it in detail, and as Mike has really clearly gotten into, the top level of control is not human, and it comes from what some people, and I would agree with them, would call the lower astral levels. And I think I would agree with Mike, what he's been coming out really specifically in his broadcasts lately, Counterthink and the other ones connected with that, is that the top level of control is demonic. And then you have the top level of human rulers, most of whom you haven't heard of. They're not the elected rulers. They're not the ones in the news. And they're shown how to carry the ceremonial sacrifice of all life on our planet to its conclusion. And that's what they're doing, step by step. It's not about money at their level at all. You know, a lot of people just think, well, it's just about money and power, and it's not, because most of the investigators who are serious have found out that population control is a big element in the agenda. But I'm just saying that it's not the end goal. It's not the purpose of the whole thing. It's just a step along the way. And if you want the population to continue paying for all the big business and giving you all the profit off the fake medical industry and all that, then you don't want to eliminate the population. Okay, it's not really that complicated. So they're just using money to control the levels that are working underneath them, carrying out what they want done. And those are the heads of corporations and the heads of governments and agencies and government right now, even down to the local level, actually, in a lot of places. And if you're in that structure, you might want to think again about what you're doing, because the end of it is not good. Anyway, they're using the money as an incentive to get the work done and finish the destruction as the top priority. Really, what they care about is at the top levels, it's not the money. It's kind of on a spiritual level, but on a dark side, it's satanic. It's rituals, it's pain and suffering and death for the energy of fear that they create for its own sake. And a lot of people can't grasp that they would want to destroy the whole biosphere. And I am getting around to certain specific events that we'll talk about during the week, but the implications are important. And a lot of people can't understand what they're doing, because why would the rulers want to kill themselves, right? I mean, that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense on the surface. And what it's about is basically they're on a suicide mission to destroy the life on Earth and then throw themselves on last as part of the ritual sacrifice. And if they do it exactly right and give the milestones and the notices they need to give through the media and through entertainment, things like that, to humanity, even though most of us don't notice, then when they throw themselves on at the end, they join their dark god forever, and that's their reward. It's not a very smart plan, because there are laws of nature that have been called karmic, or reaping what you sow, or, you know, lessons that you need to learn. And you can't avoid those by just saying, well, you know, you're not subject to it. It really doesn't matter whether you believe you are. It's everybody's subject to it, at least up to a certain point. And then there are ways at the top end to get beyond it. But as far as I can tell, understanding the larger picture makes, you know, that larger picture of the ritual sacrifice makes all the other things that are unfolding make sense, all the sub-agendas and things like that. So, of course, now there is a vastly bigger picture than the one that we just looked at, which is the reason that everybody in the end is going to be fine and it's going to turn out all right. And that's an incredible, infinite level story in itself. But remember, for the sacrifice, the ceremonial sacrifice that the negative side is doing for it to work, one thing is a very important requirement, and that is a mostly insane, severely mentally ill population. And that's the one that can be taken advantage of, and that's what makes it all possible, and it's what Mike has talked about it. And when I say Mike or Alex, I mean, I hope that you know who I mean. It's illegal now, as far as the big tech is concerned, to mention these people's full names on the internet. In fact, unless you're doing it in a completely condemning way, and I'd have to stop and change to saying the opposite of what I mean. And I thought about doing sarcasm as a new kind of paradigm for a while, but then I realized, well, the AI bots are getting, and the algorithms are getting a lot more sophisticated. They'd probably catch it, so I might as well just tell you what I'm trying to tell you anyway. And if the show disappears from this particular platform that you're watching it on, we're getting on a lot of new ones, and if you go to lostartsradio.com, you'll be able to stay up with that. So seeing as how the rulers need us to be insane and mentally deranged for them to finish us off in the way that they want, looking around us, do we see that that's happening? And it's kind of a silly thing to ask. It's so obvious. It's kind of like asking if the sky is blue or not, but that's not even so obvious anymore, because the sky used to be blue and it actually still is. You just can't see it on a lot of days. But you're not supposed to be aware of what's going on with that either. So I would say that the engineered insanity is really closely tied into the program to engineer disease and degeneration all over on a physical level, and not just mental, because if there's massive physical degeneration, that makes mental illness easier to create with the programming. And if people stay sick and impaired, they can't think clearly, because, you know, you may have noticed your brain is part of your body, right? And if your body is breaking down, if you're poisoning it with food and water and air that you're breathing and all these different things, and microwaves and all that, your brain is not going to work the same. You're going to be more subject to fear and that sort of thing. And I'm not saying all this to be negative, as people would suggest. It's just to get a realistic, strategic picture of the environment that we are dealing with, so that we can think of the best way to respond, countermeasures, things to fix it. You have to be aware of what's around you and know what you're trying to solve before you can find the solutions. So when we get sick, when we start degenerating and get all these supposedly incurable diseases and all that, the reason those are being brought on humanity intentionally is that that opens you up to instability and crazy beliefs that aren't true and susceptibility to fear. And it means that you don't have the energy physically anymore, which you really need to dissent or resist tyranny. So the question is this happening now? And yeah, I'd say obviously. I mean, I suspect that almost all the people watching the show would know that that's happening now. And it's being carried out in a lot of different ways, but partly by the program of corrupting science. And we're supposed to look at this science to guide our lives. We have all these experts throughout civilization giving, you know, going on the media and saying what's really true and what isn't true. But when science are controlled by governments and malicious corporations and corrupt media, then it becomes a tool that is used to destroy common sense, and that's what is happening right now. And at the same time as destroying common sense, it's teaching us to be full of fear and helplessness. And we're not supposed to know that fear is completely optional. You know, you can watch your own response to some of these things. If I bring up a bad thing that's happening in society right now, and you find yourself just tensing up and saying, oh no, that might really be happening, I have to be fearful and tense and stressed and all that stuff, actually, you don't. That's a learned response. And what it does is it hurts us. It hurts your physical body. It hurts your energy level. It hurts your clarity of thought. And whatever you can do in response is decreased. So one example of the idea that nature is, one example is the idea that nature is hostile and inadequate, and science has to come and fix it. Or else, if not, everything's going to fall apart and we're not going to do well. And we're supposed to believe that spraying poison on our food, and this is from fake science, okay, just giving you examples of what we're supposed to think. The spraying poison on your food and then eating it is intelligent and is cutting-edge science. And it's just amazingly advanced. And you know, common sense would tell you poisoning your food is not really brilliant. You shouldn't do it. And if you're a new listener, you might be thinking, well, obviously, that's pretty boring. I mean, everybody already knows that you shouldn't poison your food and then eat it. That's what we're doing, most of us. The food that's going into the grocery store, most of it's inedible. And I'd say growing the food with chemicals destabilizes the whole network of life in the soil. You know, in the ag schools, they're mostly teaching that you need the three chemicals that Justus von Liebig found would grow plants without worrying about the nutrition of the plant and the soil at all. And it was nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium. And he found out that you just forget about being a real farmer, which is enriching the soil and worrying about the whole, not worrying about, but overseeing the whole balance of life in the soil so that the soil then feeds the plant. You don't have to dump nitrogen fertilizer on because our atmosphere that we're breathing, besides the chemtrails, of course, is not mostly oxygen. It's about 80% nitrogen. And nitrogen happens to be one of the main fertilizing elements of plants. So there are bacteria and fungi and things in the soil, especially nitrogen-fixing bacteria, that grab the nitrogen out of the air and put it into the soil and then feed it to the plants through fungi that bridge to the roots. And it fertilizes the plants for you. You don't have to do it. You know, that's the way they grow forests in the world on the mountains without anybody spreading fertilizer on the forest, and they do really good. We're not supposed to notice that. And in the ag schools, they're teaching that, well, fertilizing wasn't even discovered until the modern chemical scientists came up, and now, fortunately, all the plants can take it easy because they're going to get the real food, and nature, which has been doing such a bad job for millions of years, is going to get the help that it needed. But when you believe that nonsense and you go through ag school or you listen to the extension agents that are saying all you need is chemicals, and you do it and you buy this chemical stuff and you throw it on your soil as in the farm or in the garden at your house, then the plants get weak and they get attacked by insects and plant diseases. And that's supposed to happen in nature because those diseases and insects are trying to eliminate the weakened plants from the bad soil. And then the chemical dealer, the poison dealer, can come along and say, look, if we don't poison the soil, everybody's going to starve. The food won't grow. The plants will die. And you're not supposed to notice that. What about that middle part where we put all this chemical fertilizer in the soil and that's when it got sick? So really, if you were talking about a normal society, a normal time in history, nobody would ever fall for that kind of stuff. But it shows there are two kinds of intelligence. You know, many of the people helping to destroy the world are very smart, and they have high IQ scores, at least decent IQ scores. But the deeper intelligence that would give them common sense to apply their calculations that they do in their mind to trying to do something positive with good end results, they've lost that. And a lot of the reason they've lost it is they've been trained to not have common sense anymore by the so-called educational system. And I know because I'm still in the middle of it right now, and it's very difficult to go through it without going crazy if you are not already crazy when you get into it. And now they're trying to start it before preschool for the kids, and it's not a good thing, you know, because education is supposed to help you learn how to perceive what's around you and understand it and ask questions and how to think, how to follow your intuition and how to check whether it's accurate, all these things. And that's being trained out of us in school, from preschool all the way up to advanced PhD when medical work and all that. It's all working on the same thing, and it's to dumb everybody down. And even the IQ scores are not surviving. They're going down too. I know in America, especially with the fluoride application in the drinking water, it's going down just like it did when they first used it in the prison camps in Germany and the Soviet Union during World War II. But what I'm getting at is that even with pretty good conventional level of intelligence, if you lose all your common sense, then you easily become a tool for misusing the knowledge that you do have. And that's happened to most of the people in positions of power and most of the people calling themselves scientists and all that. We're in a really interesting time. And I guess the bright side of that is that if you get back even some of your common sense and start working on solutions, that compared to the rest of the world, we become super geniuses because everybody else is busy going insane. But we're going to have to get back to normal if we want things to be healed. And I'm not saying that high IQ is bad. It can be very helpful. It's wonderful. It's not a bad thing to have at all, if it's combined with deeper self-awareness and common sense. But now in our world, you may have noticed that that's getting really rare. So as a result, with all these great food scientists and agricultural scientists and Department of Agriculture personnel and things like that, most of the food, the vast majority in the food that's not organic, is really not edible. And you're not supposed to know that. You're supposed to think, well, oh, maybe I'll get this over here. It looks good. It's organic. But this over here is a lot better price. It's called conventional. So I'll buy that. But don't believe the signs on things. Check if they're true. And when you see a sign in a food store, whether it's a supposedly natural food store or a grocery store that's starting to have an organic section, when you see conventional, read poisoned, because that's exactly what it means. So you want to get away from euphemisms and find out what's the meaning behind the words. Words are used as a weapon against the population now, not just in America, but all over the world. And it's true, certified organic is not perfect, but it's like a bare minimum standard right now. You want to get that, whether it's certified or not. If you know the grower and you know that they don't use any chemical fertilizer or any poison of any kind, and they take care of their soil and the plants, then it's great. Who cares if it's certified? But the certification program is a good thing. It's just not always honest. It's got a lot of people trying to cheat it. There are people in government and industry trying to water down the standards and make it less meaningful. But it's a whole lot better than buying so-called conventional food in the store. In fact, I've been through times when I haven't had any money and was barely surviving in my life. And I would buy half as much food and make it good quality rather than buy junk food that's cheaper. And I recommend thinking about that if you can. It's better to eat less if money's an issue than eat food that leads to disease. And besides just the poisoning of the soil through misguided farming practices that are being pushed throughout governments all over the world, what about the modern processed food industry that gives you something they call food? And I totally agree with Organic Consumers Association about this. Wanted to let you guys know, I'm not against you, OCA. I'm against the Green New Deal because it's suicidal, but not against the real environmental issues. And this is a whole other subject we probably don't have time for today, but don't get stuck on labels, you know, or party affiliations or group affiliations. Groups, environmental groups like OCA are fantastic, but when they make a mistake and endorse something really nasty like the Green New Deal, which has devastating medical and economic aspects and other things to it, then it's still a mistake, even if the group that makes the mistake is wonderful. But what I started to say is that OCA is right about the processed food being dead, and the primary nutrient in food is life force. And if it's gone, what's all this dead junk that's going to go into you going to do? On a time-delayed basis, usually, so it's not recognized, but it's a major health issue. And the best natural health teachers that I know of, Matt Monarch being a great example, say that the number one cause, and that's rawfoodworld.com, I think. It's worth looking at. He's got a lot of great videos on the internet. And he says the number one cause of degenerative disease is not genetics, but it's processed food. And I completely agree with that. So authorities, you know, talk about the danger of food shortages all the time, and they say that chemical fertilizers and GMOs are helping to prevent that, but that's the complete opposite of what's really happening. The chemical fertilizers on the soil and the GMOs are deadly to not just humans, but all the life that depends on the soil, which is all of it. And if they told the truth, they would tell you that there's a massive food shortage now because chemically grown food, it's not actually food. And it creates problems in animals that eat it and all kinds of life forms. In fact, there are many experiences and experiments of animals being fed GMO and other poisoned crops, you know, grains and things like that. And they develop cancer and human diseases. It's not good. So if the farmers could bring the common sense back to life, they would stop the chemicals right away and learn true organic farming and say, look, we got fooled. I can see the farmer talking to his or her family at dinner and saying, you know, I just realized we got hypnotized and swindled and defrauded, and we've been helping to destroy the planet by using chemical fertilizers. And I know a lot of people who call themselves conservative, which have a lot of good qualities. Many of them have an impossible time understanding the reality of the true environmental emergency that, yes, it's happening right now. It's absolutely real. And some of you will probably cut me off and won't want to hear anymore because you're thinking, oh, that's just a fraud. It's just the climate change hoax and all this stuff. No, you have to actually start looking a little bit deeper. Rachel Carson in the 60s was absolutely right, but probably understated, if anything. And she was warning about the millions of pounds of chemical poisons that are dumped on the soil and in the water and into the air. That's insane. No intelligent species or culture would ever do that. So if we're going to have any chance to survive, we have to shake off the programming and the hypnosis, and there fortunately are ways to do that. But the farmer telling the family around dinner table that, sorry, we got fooled into this helping destroy the earth, that thing, you know. We're going to transition away from chemicals starting today and learn about true organic farming, and I mean real organic farming. And if the National Organic Program in the U.S. or wherever you are starts diluting its standards and allowing, well, an example is that in the U.S. they're allowing now hydroponic growing of food like tomatoes and other things to be called certified organic, and that's it's not a mistake, it's intentional, but it's very bad for the consumer because there's this thing that plants require to be healthy, full of fungi and bacteria, aerobic life and things like that. You may have heard of it. It's called soil. And if you think you're really clever by taking out the soil and just using water with diluted compounds in it, that's not a smart idea. The only thing, I guess, great about it from the grower's point of view is you can generate a lot more money by being willing to put out compromised quality of food. And in a greenhouse, you can stack the layers of hydroponic, you know, that's water-only dissolved solutions. You can stack these layers of plants one on top of another, 10 deep or whatever, and make more money that way. But I think the problem is that business has lost its sense of ethics. You know, it's certainly true in America, and I think most of what used to be Europe and Asia and most of the world, actually, it's that in business, people, if they know about ethics, then what they know is to try to act like they're ethical so the customers will like them and buy more. That's not what we're talking about. It's really being ethical so that if you're selling food, you want as much profit as you can get, and that's a good thing. But you won't take profit by selling anything that will poison people. You won't do it. Or like hydroponic food that has no nutrition in it compared to real food. You just won't do it. You don't care if it's 85 times the profit or whatever. You won't do it. And that's it. That shouldn't even have to come from what religion you are. You should just know. And unfortunately, it takes a lot of us a long time. I know in my life lessons of learning things, I've done it by making every mistake I could make. But once you realize that, then you're supposed to change it and do better. So I'm just saying an encouragement to the farmers and gardeners out there. Consider just not using any chemicals. In an obvious case, which millions of people do, don't just go to the garden store or the hardware store and pick up a gallon plastic jug of Roundup. It shouldn't matter not just how much money it makes or saves, but how much labor it saves when you don't have to actually reach down to the ground and pull out a weed. You can spray it with this horrible chemical that degrades into stuff that's even worse and then gets in the water supply and gets in your breathed into your body and comes in through your skin. If you touch anything with that stuff on it, it's in your body. If you touch any food that it was used on or any weeds that it was used on, it's in your body. It's completely, really harmful. And there's no reason for any of it to be allowed to be produced at all. You know, I think that I'm not in favor of millions of laws to control what we do, but I think production of things like Roundup and atrazine and other chemicals like that are polluting the whole world should be banned from every country that is not completely given over to self-destructive evil. And besides, where do all the toxic chemicals end up? They don't just stay within the lines of your country, and they get into the water and the food and all through the environment, into the polar ice caps, which have not melted yet, by the way. And we absorb them and we eat them and we drink them, and they get into nursing mothers' milk that they're feeding their babies. I mean, no sane culture would ever allow those things to be produced. Because in real farming, they're not used anyway. It's just in this corrupt chemical kind of farming that they are. So those chemicals get in your body, they, as Dr. Labo says, they poison the enzymes and they cause cancer and other diseases. And a big thing of what they do by affecting those enzymes is they disrupt hormones, which are very complex proteins, basically. And so you can see how sickness and loss of sanity can overlap. And a lot of the poisons like atrazine, not just BPA, but atrazine, which is used in vast quantities all over the world, including the U.S., they're now everywhere. So it's a real good reason to filter the water that you drink and never drink water directly from a public water supply source. That would be very unintelligent thing to do, no matter how convenient it is. Water fountains, anything like that, if they put fluoride and chlorine in them, and if they have the residues that don't get fixed by the treatment plants of atrazine and other things, atrazine and chemicals like that have been shown to cause massive gender confusion and physical system changes in animals and amphibians and things like that. which is really interesting and no coincidence, I think, that we have a huge epidemic of human gender confusion that the media just wants you to think is the new normal. And the media in America and most of the world is completely criminal at this point. And they're working for the agents that want the degeneration and destruction of society. So there are a lot of people still just looking and staring at the conventional mainstream media channels and then using that as their concept of reality and not noticing what's going on. And the epidemic of gender confusion now is so bad that people are voluntarily choosing to chemically and surgically mutilate their bodies and calling that a new natural gender choice. And it's not. It should be called what it is. The people aren't bad at all. They're just victimized by this chemical and programming epidemic that's washing over the world right now. And the people that fall for that, or even worse, that do it by force to their kids or convince their kids to be mutilated with chemicals to destroy their natural hormone balance and surgery to cut up their bodies physically. These people are the victims of a very sophisticated scientific program right now. So when parents and government agencies start doing it to kids, it's basically criminal insanity. And most of it could be prevented by getting the toxins out of the body, avoiding the psychological programming, and then rebuilding it with sound materials. And it's really interesting how just cleaning out the body and rebuilding it can have such a massive transformative effect on the mind and the emotions and the thought patterns. It reminds me of what Paul Bragg did in the 60s at prisons, meeting and interacting with some of the most hardcore violent criminals and getting permission at that time. He probably couldn't do it now, but back then it wasn't quite as insane as now, and there wasn't as much strict control by government, and he got permission to do experiments giving better food to the worst criminals, the most violent ones. And a lot of them got completely better and were in condition to be able to go home and weren't criminals anymore. And I think that's pretty interesting, because a lot of the mental illness is actually physically caused at this point. But that's only one example of the epidemic insanity. And I mentioned before, another example that we already mentioned is that the blue skies that are disappearing and mucky gray that's covering them are an off-white that just spreads out and covers big parts of the sky. And that would be beyond the emotional capacity of most people to even grasp what's going on with that. What? You're saying that there's this huge fleet of aircraft all over the world that is spraying poison in the air and nobody does anything about it? That's impossible. That there's no way that a collusion could be this widespread and this deep, and that all the governments could be saying nothing and ignoring it. What about EPA? They would notice right away, and they would save us from this and get it stopped. And if anybody ever really did something like that, it would be considered a chemical attack on that country, and the Air Force would protect us. That's the comic book version, which a lot of people still believe, maybe the majority. The majority, I think, are still not even aware of this high-altitude spray programs that are going on. But the reality is that these planes are flying worldwide, spraying very sophisticated mixes of poisons. And we've had one of the top scientists on this issue, Carnicom, on our Sunday shows. You're looking it up, Clifford Carnicom in the free archives of LostArtsRadio.com. And he's broken down some of what's in the spray residue, and it's toxic metal and it toxic metal dust, which, by the way, happens to have a an extra effect of causing explosive forest fires, which, of course, the media and the corrupt scientists and the crazy people who don't think any deeper say, this is all caused by global warming and climate change and all that. Well, kind of it is, because the real man-made primary climate disruption is called geoengineering, and that's what we're describing here. So besides the metal dust in the spray residue, it's also got biological and chemical weapons engineered to do bad things to the whole biosphere. And what it is really is, it's an ongoing chemical air raid, chemical biological air raid against every country in the world and the whole biosphere. And a lot of damage has been caused already. This is, if you know, this is what you would call an immediate environmental emergency. And to say that it's not going on, which some of the big conservative groups that I've talked to just won't look at it. It goes with the talking points. You know, the conservative and the liberal groups both have absolutely closed minds in most cases. They have blinders on. They can only see certain things that their party has told them is okay to think. And a lot of them on the conservative side have a lot of great points about Agenda 21, the Internet of Things and sovereign countries and firearms rights and all this stuff. But they can't imagine a real environmental crisis, even though it's happening. And on the left, they can think, well, there's a real environmental crisis, obviously. But they take the crazy step of saying, we need to give up all of our rights and freedoms in order to do that and support the Green New Deal, which is complete suicide for the country and the world. So somehow we got to shake off the labels and the parties and the things like that and just say, look, ego's not a part of it. It doesn't matter who's right about what. It matters what's right. And admitting that you made a mistake and now you're seeing it more clearly is fine. It shows that you're learning. It's not like a debate where the whole purpose is to prove that the other person's an idiot and you're brilliant. That's a real waste of time compared to what could be done. So I think the most of the population's just going about business as usual, not suspecting what's going on much at all. And instead, when they start to get upset or sense that finding out what's really happening might be disturbing, they take drugs of all kinds, over-the-counter, medical. They get their doctor to prescribe all kinds of things that they saw on TV, which most doctors will do because they're really profitable. And a lot of doctors that I've talked to who are great people don't even know what's in the drugs and the injections that they prescribe or give. It's totally amazing. Again, anybody with common sense would never give somebody else something to eat that they don't know what's in it. Or more, even more than that, if you're going to inject it in liquid form through a hollow needle into their body, but you don't know everything about what's in that and what it does to you, you know, that's like, if that's happening, and it is everywhere, the common sense of the whole medical industry and the health workers is almost gone. And they're arrogant instead. They've been taught that if anybody questions what they're doing, that person should be censored and silenced and condemned publicly. And then the law should be changed to force everybody to take the drugs and the injections, even if it's against their own better judgment, their common sense, and their religion. That's what's happening in the U.S. and a lot of the world right now. Moving toward complete denial of informed consent, the principle that nothing can be done to you as far as a medical treatment or a health protocol unless you've been explained everything about what it does, pro and con, and you voluntarily decide you want it. That's a part of the Geneva Convention, and the signatory countries, which are more than 100, are bound by that, including the U.S., and it's completely ignored. So eventually that's going to be called to account and something's going to happen. in normal times, if you can imagine normal times being in the middle of this, the medical industry would be teaching us how to learn from nature and keep ourselves in great condition with naturally strong immunity and ageless good health. And that's all something you can have just by learning about nature and applying what you learn. But instead, the medical profession has become drug dealers and getting us addicted to multiple toxic poisons, actually, that are, for some strange reason, are called medicines. And the government agencies that oversee that are in business financially with the producers of those poisons. And that's who's regulating the whole thing. In fact, the whole idea of injecting poison into your...
Bear with us, folks. We're just trying to get Richard back. There he is. You're back.
Oh, sorry, you guys. We got interrupted for a minute. Just saying that the idea that you would inject a liquid poison to prevent disease has never been true back to when it started 200 years ago. And it's kind of unbelievable, but it's really happening. So in general, we're so out of touch with our built-in system of inner guidance that everybody has that we've become devoted believers in the religion of fake science that's everywhere right now. Totally out of touch with the source and everything comes from that's love, beauty, and consciousness, and so much out of touch with it that there are so many millions of people that believe in religion and religious ideas that teach that God is really hateful and wants everybody in the wrong religions killed immediately or as soon as possible and their countries overtaken. If you're in a religion like that, certainly up to you, whatever you want to believe, but real science and real spiritual investigation questions everything. Question it, because if it's true, it'll stand up to any kind of question. Very important point, because otherwise you could find yourself doing really violent, destructive, murderous actions when you're ordered to do that by a belief system that is completely out of touch with reality. And I'm just reminding everybody they have a choice whether to follow something like that or not. And the rulers that are running the programs of destruction at a higher level, way above religion, appreciate that very much. And they're using it to ruin societies on the way to eliminating independent countries. And I'm looking down here because I've got another couple of hours of notes here that I want to share with you, and I've got to pick and choose. I want to cover the things that are the most important here. So I would say, besides humanity's love of belief systems that justify murder, one of the biggest things that the rulers take full advantage of is the love for convenience. Whatever it is, just if I can do it faster and easier, without thinking, that would be great. And right now, an example of that that's spreading everywhere is the so-called 5G network being built worldwide. And the scientists that have been talking about this and warning people are pointing out that even 1G, 2G, 3G, 4G, all the Gs that were designed to control thoughts and emotions and destroy life are taking their toll in disease, but they don't get blamed for what they do because of the time lag. And even when there are cancer clusters around cell towers, it's not instantaneously visible. And Barry Troer's been on Lost Arts Radio many times explaining it. You can see that free archive anytime you want, and I'd highly recommend it. Forbidden secret that nobody's supposed to talk about is the fiber optic cable. It's faster than 5G, it's safe, it doesn't radiate anybody, and a lot of it's already installed. But the wireless networks and devices are actually weapons, and they're being installed everywhere. You can easily do your own research on this and find the details out. Look at scientists for wire technology and other sites like that. It needs to be removed from the schools especially, and gotten it away from kids and out of neighborhoods everywhere, and should be replaced by fiber optic. It's a lot faster and safer. People are still really carrying smartphones everywhere and on their body, and women putting them in their bra when they go to the gym, and men putting them in their pockets. This is really not smart unless they're totally turned off. People don't realize the danger of holding these on their heads or carrying them on their body. Just, you know, be aware of that. Use the phone on speakerphone if you can. Don't carry it when it's turned on. Don't put it anywhere around you at night. Don't carry it turned on in the car. Doug did a great video on that that you can see posted on the site of what's emitted inside the metal box. It basically turns your car into a low-intensity microwave oven. Not good for your brain or anything like that. And kids are the most susceptible. The idea of Wi-Fi on airplanes is a really malicious idea that's spreading too. Part of the plan for exterminating life involves ending separate countries so the control can be more uniform everywhere, and that's happening. And the public's being conditioned to believe that nation states are obsolete. Globalism under technocracy means, world peace. Just like, you know, forcing everybody to have one religion and killing everybody else would be world peace. Except then you'd have factions that fight against each other. So it wouldn't really be world peace. And it's like believing the fake environmentalists that say all the humans should be killed to bring world peace, and its vision of living in harmony with nature, other people, and ourselves is not supposed to be remembered, but it's almost lost at this point. And this week in the U.S., talking about individual nation states, there were two big debates. Each one had 10 candidates for president. And I watched both of them all the way through to know what was going on with those guys. And it was like a contest for who could be the most insane. One point of sanity that I noticed was Tulsi Gabbard, who was against unnecessary and preemptive wars, which was great. And I was so impressed that I called up her office and thought, wow, what about your other policies? Are you actually dumping the party line and going to get normal? But unfortunately, all the rest that they would tell me about were party line policies of the Democrats that thought they would secure the border without having a barrier, which is completely crazy. And voting privileges and free benefits and help for everybody who breaks in illegally into a country. Total government-controlled health care as part of a Green New Deal type situation. That would be a complete nightmare because the government is in total collusion with the drug and injection companies. And if you give them control of health care, which every Democrat candidate for president wants to do, that would be the end of health freedom. Special recognition of rights for the victims of chemical and surgical mutilation of bodies. Demonization of Putin and the U.S. president and of Putin, it's because he's suggesting a lot of good, positive things. So you're supposed to believe that he's demonic. Emphasizing racism all over the place, where it's not. What else? Plans to eliminate rights to self-defense and firearms, which are absolutely critical, and getting rid of them is suicide for any free society, as people who have done that found out. But what would it have been like if there were sane people in the debate? We've only got a couple minutes left, so I can just hit these points real quick. Any sane candidate of any party, first of all, would not be bound by the party and would say, well, I just want to know what's true. Absolute Second Amendment rights in every country in the world. Immediate total border security with physical barriers everywhere needed. And by the way, in the U.S., that's the mandate, the job of the U.S. president, not having to ask Congress about it. And there was just on Friday, there was an insane federal judge installed by Obama in California that said, oh, well, the president can't use money without Congress to protect the country and secure the border. Yes, he can. And he doesn't even have to pay any attention to that stupid judge, because that's like saying you don't have the constitutional authority to actually do your job. It's not true. If you had sane people running for office, they'd be in favor of total health freedom, open access to real health information, total exposure of all religious terrorism, showing it on TV, not trying to cover it up, quick elimination of the Federal Reserve as a prime cause of almost all the financial distress in the U.S. and similar banks elsewhere, arrest the top bosses of the U.N. and get it out of the U.S. and withdraw from it, tell the truth about, I'm going fast now because I don't want to get cut off, tell the truth about suppressed energy technology, disclosure of the actual what's going on with ET contact for many, many decades now, and the planned false flag of a fake ET invasion that Wernher von Braun was involved in and warned against when he was dying, removal of the socialist control of the schools, return to normal teaching and local control, eliminate all the forced health procedures, respect informed consent, expose CPS and arrest the guilty executives, arrest Planned Parenthood executives and show what they're really doing on TV, full detail, full internal pictures of what's happening to the baby when it's being murdered. But all this is wishful thinking at this part. Working towards it is great, but at the same time, there's more that you can do, and the biggest part of it is working on yourself. Because if you don't do that, then whatever you work on in these various causes is not going to be as successful. We got to get back to who we really are, get our health back, learn how to use laws of nature to regain normal health and energy, certainly beyond the dumbed-down state of the imagination that's come today, and the hidden point of power that we forgot all about that's actually within you. So learning the real health information, heal yourself, and I mean all levels, not just physical, mental, emotional, everything. They're all tied together. You can transform your whole life experience, no matter what your situation, your environment, no matter who's around you that you're blaming the stress on now. You can transform that and help heal the world. Everything you need's inside you. You've got all the tools right now. That's the bottom line of seeing the bad things in the world. It means that your help is needed, and you can do it yourself, or if you want a support system, check out what we're doing at planetaryhealingclub.com. Be great to see you there. We're live there once a week on Saturdays, and members get all the archives and everything, so check that out, planetaryhealingclub.com. and tomorrow night's Sunday show is very important and big deal with David Noakes, awaiting imprisonment for healing people without government approval. And the details of that will be on the show. He's been on the show before, very forbidden guest, and it would be great for you to come and meet us there and get to meet David. After that, we'll see you at free videos that we're making during the week or planetaryhealingclub.com. Thanks for your time, and we'll see you next time. Have a good week.